October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and with that in mind, local advocacy and support organization Response is preparing a very special evening at the Wheeler Opera House on Thursday, October 18th. The mission of Response is to end domestic and sexual abuse in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm joined by choreographer, poet, and performing arts curator Alia Howe, here to share more about the upcoming event. Welcome back to Express Yourself, Alia.
Thank you, Raleigh. I'm really thrilled to be here to speak about this important event.
It's great to have you. And I understand it's really kind of unique to the organization, to the Valley. I was told by Shannon Meyer, the director of Response, when I interviewed her last week, that she's already receiving messages from people around the country who are interested in doing the same sort of thing and seeing how it goes. So
pilot.
It's a pilot. It's a test, but it's a really, it's the right time, I'd say, for an event like this, where we will have six presenters sharing their own, oh, five presenters sharing their own personal stories of surviving instances of abuse.
That's correct. And this was initiated by Genevieve de Villamazier. Sorry, Genevieve, if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, who was massively helped by Response. And she said, you know, it would really, she has participated in some of my writ large storytelling events and was really the instigator of bringing this to Shannon, bringing me in. And here we are. And I am both honored, heartbroken, educated, and inspired by the courage, the whole journey that this will take the storytellers to speak out publicly and personally.
Mm-hmm. And so you have been somebody who's worked with each of them and helping them to make their story into something to present to people, which you've done previously with a lot of people. What is that process like? How do you sort of tease out the details and help people construct their story for an audience?
First of all, I ask people to make a draft of their story, or even before that, just to sit down and be really quiet with themselves and just ask, what story, what needs to be told for me to strengthen and empower me, help me stand stronger in what is important for me, and what, and ask them just to journal, freestyle, or speak into their voice memos and just record what's coming up. And then from that place, I encourage people to write a rough draft. And this has been particularly tricky because not many people want to go back and visit and revisit a devastating moment, experience, period in their life. And yet it is very healing and also empowering to actually have a look at, here I am here now, this is what I've done with my life because of this situation, and have a look and see how far we have come. But it's a emotional process. It's a challenging and courageous process, and to speak publicly adds another level of courage.
Right. It's going to take tremendous bravery on the part of all five of the speakers. And I understand that there's also going to be somebody in the audience who can help, a therapist who can help in case any of these stories trigger a reaction from somebody in the audience.
Incredibly thoughtful. And that just lets you know what kind of holding that Response does for their clients, the people who come to them from help, and also for the people in the audience who just might need help at that moment. I am incredibly grateful for Response's work in the Valley. I am learning more and more about it. And I think not only is it important to hear these stories and become awake to the different kinds of abuse, whether it's stalking, physical violence, sexual violence, verbal intimidation, belittling, using money or power or position as a weapon, and just to learn what we can do to help. And if you're too scared to help yourself, then what can you do to help? How can you steer people? And I think it's just so important to know.
Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, will there be discussion following these stories? Is there going to be a moment for the audience to connect with the presenters or with each other around this topic?
I believe after the storytelling, Shannon will do an introduction, then we'll have the stories, and then I think in the closing, there will be possibilities for discussion to go and find out how to help, how to seek help if you need it, and just to become aware of the commitment and strength that it takes to get out of a certain situation. The commitment and strength and the time it might take to prosecute the perpetrators. The commitment and strength to heal, to help. And what part of the puzzle could we fit in as a community? Let's not just peek behind the curtains and then close them again. Mm-hmm. But when you see something, be given tools on how to respond. And that's why we called it our response. It's the storyteller's response to their situations and what they have done with their life. It's just so thrilling to hear. And how we can respond as a community to help.
And so in addition to being a fundraiser, the tickets are at Aspen Show TIX?
Yes, they are. They're $25.
And it is at the Wheeler Opera House?
Yes, in the lobby. In that beautiful, intimate lobby space.
Okay, so it's not on the stage, but
it is on a stage. Oh, okay. Upstairs, they have the lobby bar where I have been presenting as part of the Sunset Sessions, which have been in an incredible community programs initiated by Jenna Bula, the executive director at the Wheeler. And she has been incredibly supportive of public programming and supporting local programming.
All right. And next Thursday, for people who are interested, and I'd say more than a fundraiser, it goes so far beyond that, because as you were saying, it opens the discussion. It lets people know that they're not alone in what they've experienced, although maybe it's been unique to each individual, which I understand this also highlights by selecting five very different
storytellers. Very contrasting, yes.
And could we go back to that definition of abuse? Because I think a lot of people jump straight to physical violence. That's the association our minds make. But as you were saying, it doesn't have to be anything physical. It can be monetary abuse. It can be emotional abuse. Do a few of these stories speak to those other forms of abuse?
Yes, they do. It gives us a very deep and broad spectrum of how sometimes something that feels a little bit off at the beginning, but you just let it go over your head, how slowly, over time, certain kinds of abuse can debilitate self-worth, ability to feel in command or in control of your life, to feel scared that something might happen or something you do or do not do will cause something devastating to happen to someone else. I don't want to give too much away in these stories. But yes, it doesn't have to be physical to come under the category of abuse, and the wide sweep of which response helps people in our community.
What is your greatest hope for what comes as a result of this event taking place?
Awareness, mm-hmm. How to perceive and tune in to when someone in your community might be hurting, by having an ears to listen just a little bit deeper, to have a look at the movement, the body language, and to hear if someone is saying that they are struggling, maybe in not so many words. And we'll hear that within the stories. And I think also just to be inspired by the resilience of the human spirit and its ability to rise out of the most dire situations, how the storytellers have the ability to see beauty, and what incredible choices these storytellers have made and now give back to our community. It is a phenomenal uphill battle to prosecute and to be able to pass new laws to protect victims. Just in our own community, I was aware in the paper a few months, maybe more than a few months ago, Lynn Kirshner's journey in terms of prosecuting someone who pulled and grabbed her arm and injured her shoulder girdle. I think it took 3 years, and all she wanted was for this man to take anger management classes. And she won. Mm-hmm. But it took tenacity. In one of our storytellers, they have been taking the Title IX and working with ending rape on campus and really getting strong laws passed in the Senate. And I think she's at her third or fourth round at moving it forwards as a personal bill, because no NGO would actually take it on at this time because it was too volatile, too toxic an environment, and they had other things on their agenda. But I think it's huge to not turn or look the other way. Get involved. If you see something, act, call the police. This is huge because, as Shannon said in the earlier interview, this is happening here in our valley. And as people will hear from our courageous storytellers, they're here in all the different ways. It is happening in the valley, and how we can help. But most of all, once you are aware of it, help. Yeah. Reach out. Give these people support.
We have the potential to change it, but we have to first become aware of it.
Yeah.
And realize it and accept that this is happening and we have to change it. So thank you so much. We have a lot to get in today's show. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
No, just thank you for taking two slots this week as part of the Domestic and Sexual Awareness Month, and for including us. I really, really appreciate you putting this on the air. So thank you, Raleigh. Thank you, KDNK.
Thank you, Alia Howe. And the event once again is on Thursday, October 18th at the Wheeler Opera House in the evening, 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.